Say good morning to each and every one of you here this morning. Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to see the house so well filled. It's good to see each one of you here. I want to welcome all the visitors who are here with us today. Trust you'll feel welcomed here as we worship the Lord together. It is a privilege to be gathered together here this morning. I appreciated the service so far today. I was just thinking those songs that we sang there was very encouraging. Jesus is coming soon was the first one that we sang here between Sunday school and now. And the next one was Rise Up, O Men of God. You know, are we willing to stand up and be men and women of God? And then peace, perfect peace, the peace that we can have that passes all understanding. And this morning, for our message, we'll be continuing our study here in the book of Philippians. We've been preaching through, for those of you that are visitors, we've been going through the book of Philippians. We're getting near to the end of the book. We're in chapter 4, about halfway through. This morning, we're going to be looking at contentment. As we look around us, we see a lot of people that are not contented with life. And that's something that is very common to man, always wanting more, wishing they had something different, maybe another car or truck. Did you ever think about how easy it is to become dissatisfied? You know, you get a vehicle, there's a new vehicle or a new tool, there's something exciting about that. Maybe it's something you've been saving up for, looking for a long time, but it don't seem it's long to maybe a year or two, and you start seeing something different. You start thinking, well, man, that might be a little better if I had that one, or vice versa. You know, it's pretty easy to become discontented with life. You know, our houses, tools, different job. You know, some people become discontent with their jobs, the things they do in life. I know of one man, if he sees something that he thinks others are making money at, he tries his hardest to get involved in it one way or another. He's never quite satisfied with where he's at. He's always looking, trying to make more money. People like that are often thinking about money will make them happier. There's a verse before we go into the main part of the message I want to look at in 1 Timothy 6:6. It says, "But godliness with contentment bringeth great gain." Maybe I'll just read a couple verses after that there and thinking about that. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. For they that will be rich shall fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, meekness, and patience. And fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses." There's a lot in there, but thinking about that first verse I read in 1 Timothy 6:6, "But godliness with contentment bringeth great gain." Are we really contented with where we are at in life? Title of the message this morning is "The Power of Contentment." The verses we'll be looking at today is, and I'll read them at this time, is Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Starts out there in Philippians 4, verse 10. "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last of your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." See several different things here in this passage this morning. First thing we want to look at there is in verse 10. Paul is rejoicing and encouraging them because of what they have been doing for him. He says he's rejoicing in the Lord greatly. Verse 10 is also commending them for the love and the care that they had had for him or showed to him. And that phrase there in the middle of the verse where it talks about flourished again, it wasn't so much, you know, there was quite a distance. Paul was in prison at this time, if we remember that. It was quite a distance between where the people there at the Philippian church would have been there at Philippi and where Paul was in prison at. So it wasn't like they could just go frequently to visit him or frequently send messages to him. So he was commending them and rejoicing greatly, not just because of what they were doing for him now, but what they had continued to do for them, for him, sorry. A verse back in chapter 1, verse 3 came to my mind where the Apostle Paul had told them, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So again, we bring out the thought of his love and care for them. And in verse 4 in Philippians 1, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy. That thought there a little bit more about flourished again too is kind of gives a thought of came alive or revived again or being in abundance. You know, their love and their care was alive. It was in abundance. They were really showing him that they cared and loved for him. Verse 11, I think we could say is our key verse here in our text this morning. He starts out by saying, not that I don't have any needs, but I have learned to be content with what I have or where I'm at. I want us to look and think about several different things here in this verse. Back in 2 Corinthians 11, where the Apostle Paul mentions many of the things that he had suffered for the gospel. I'm not going to read the whole list there. But a couple things in two of the verses that I really made me think about. In verse 27, in 2 Corinthians 11, he says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Think about what he just said there. He said he was many times weary and in pain. You know, I don't know about you, but if you've had a really long, hard week, maybe it was very tiring, maybe it was something very physically, maybe emotional taxing, maybe both. Maybe you face some different trials and temptations throughout the week to add to the whole thing. But think about that. Paul, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst. He was many times hungry. He was many times thirsty. In fastings often, in cold and nakedness. You know, I don't know about you, but if you're cold, we usually have another coat we can put on. We usually have another blanket. If it's night, you can put another blanket on. One of the sayings around our house, if somebody says they're cold, well, do you have socks on? Do you have a coat on yet? Well, if you don't, you wear a sweater on. It's just kind of a common thing between us for some reason that kind of caught over the years. But here we see he wouldn't have had that to put on. He was hungry. He didn't have enough to eat. But then we see what I wanted us to think about there, was thinking about in relation to our verse here in our text today. I have learned that to be content with whatever state I am in, therewith to be content. And then in verse 26, back in 2 Corinthians 11 as well, in journeys often, in other words, he was often on different journeys, he was often on different trips, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He talked about the different perils he was in. A peril, the definition of peril is serious or immediate danger. So if we read that verse thinking about that, he was in immediate danger sometimes in water. You know, he tried to travel by ship sometimes on his journeys. And in immediate danger of robbers. In immediate danger or serious trouble by his own countrymen. By the heathen, those that were against the word of God. In perils or in trouble in the city, in the wilderness, and in the sea, and among false brethren. So what I want us to grasp or think about there, you know, he wasn't just making a statement here that sounded good. He was making a statement that he had learned through the experiences of life, and whatsoever state he is in, therewith to be content. And I thought about that some as I was studying and preparing for the message. I think that's how he was able to be in prison and be so still vibrant, have a vibrant testimony for the Lord and continue to do the work of the Lord, even though he was facing many hardships. So we could say here in verse 11 that he's saying, not that I speak in respect of want, or not that I don't have any needs, but I have learned whatever state I am in to be content and to accept this is God's will for me. It's a little story. This is maybe a little humorous, but it does bring out a point. It says, a mother and her young son were out on a walk one day when the weather turned suddenly dangerous. A tornado funnel formed overhead and came right towards them. Seeing this, they took shelter at the base of the tree and clung to its trunk. But although the mother was able to keep her grip, her son was torn away and the spiraling wind carried him off into the sky and out of sight. The boy's mother was beside herself and prayed, "Please, dear God, bring my son back to me. He's all I have left in life. Will you return him to me? And if you do, I promise I'll serve you for the rest of my days." God answered her prayer, and a tornado turned back toward her and lost its force and gently returned him back to the ground and at her side. A bit disheveled, but otherwise unhurt, his mother was overjoyed, and after hugging and kissing him repeatedly, she brushed him off and stood back and took a good look at him. Then she stopped and looked up and said, "But Lord, he's missing his hat." You know, that's maybe a little bit humorous, but think about that. You know, we get so many blessings in life, but yet we tend to look at what we're missing or what we don't have or the negative, something that's negative as part of that. When we don't learn contentment, we are never happy. We might be find moments of happiness in life along the way, but we never find that inner peace and joy that the Apostle Paul has been talking about. Contentment is an age-old problem that I believe everybody deals with. It's been around from the beginning of time. You know, Eve, if you think about it, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, when Eve was tempted by the serpent, she wasn't content just to partake of what God had said they could, but she needed to, when the serpent said, you know, that's good fruit too, you need to take of that. So she wasn't content with all the other abundance she had in the garden, but she had to partake of that as well. And I think many times we face things like that as well. One of the things that we think about that causes discontent is covetousness. It makes us very dissatisfied with life and causes all kinds of discontentment. Covetousness or envy is focusing on another person's blessings rather than our own. I want to look back at one of the Ten Commandments that kind of talks about this just a little bit. Back here in Exodus 20, verse 17, it says, "But thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." In other words, if you think about what that commandment or verse is really saying, be content with what you have. Don't look around you and covet or have envy for what other people have. Did you ever think about how easy it is to become discontented and how at times like that it can bring discouragement and other problems? You know, I had to think about in the past year, year and a half, we've seen a lot of doom and gloom and political drama to last all of us a lifetime, I think. But, and, you know, in the midst of that, we can begin to wonder what in the world's happening here, what in the world's going on, you know, if we aren't careful, we let that consume us and it causes discontentment and discouragement. The Bible tells us that we are not of this world, that we need to stand up and keep our focus on the Lord and to remember that many of these things will come to pass. I often make the statement that life continues on one day at a time. Colossians 3, verse 2, kind of gives us a good remedy for that. It says, "Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth." In verse 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." If we continue to keep our focus on what is good and what is right, it will many times help us to be contented. Verse 12 here, Paul uses a contrast of words here to make a point. He starts out there, he has three different ones there. The first one is to be abased and to abound. Abased is kind of the definition or thought there is to be brought low or by need or to be humbled before the Lord. Abound is prosperity. You know, he's had both. He's seen things where he had a lot of needs. He didn't have anything of his own, so to speak. But then there was other times where things went well for him. There was a lot of prosperity, not so much in his own life, but in his ministry, the things that were happening in the churches that he was ministering to. The second thing he talks about is how that I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. In other words, there's time that he had enough to eat, and there's times that he was hungry. There was times that he was wondering where his next meal would come from. And then the third thing he talks about is to abound and to suffer need, or to have plenty, or to suffer need. He basically is bringing out or adding to that thought that he has learned, regardless of the situation or the circumstance that he is in, he needs to be content and to praise and serve the Lord. When we struggle with contentment, sometimes we sit around with the thought of, you know, what's next, Lord, instead of saying, thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me. You know, I think I maybe mentioned in one of the messages recently, and I'm not sure when it was or what for thought it was bringing out, but it just came to me, the thought of, you know, we all have something that we can thank the Lord for. Even if it's just thanking the Lord for saving our soul, thanking the Lord, you know, there's some, when I say that, even if it's just that, sometimes when we're struggling through some hard things in life, we may think we don't have a lot to be thankful for, but we can still thank and praise the Lord for providing salvation for us and the hope we have of being in heaven someday. I think there's a lot of different struggles in churches and in marriages, in relationships, that could be solved if a lot of people would be content with where they are at in life. Verse 13, Paul gives us, and I guess you could call this his recipe for contentment. It says there, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. This is where he found his peace and joy. This is where he found his strength. He's not saying here that he can do anything that he wants to do, but rather because of his relationship with Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he can do all things that God wants him to do. He was a man. He was not a superhuman or a superhero. You know, we've probably all heard the statement. In fact, I've probably said it many times myself along the line. When we read about the Apostle Paul and all his afflictions, all his sufferings, and you hear about other hardships and losses that different people face, persecution in other country, sometimes we make the statement or think, well, I'm not sure if I could be faithful in the midst of all of that hardship. But one thing that I thought about that really came to my mind, God doesn't give us the strength for all the troubles and trials we see around us, but he gives us the strength for what we are facing today. He doesn't give us the strength that somebody needs in a foreign country to withstand the persecution they might be facing, but he gives us the strength that we need. He's there, and he's the rock. He's the source of power that we can have to overcome the trials and the hardships and the temptations that we face each day. You know, you hear of stories, and I think Brother Paul and Sister Goldie maybe mentioned about, or yeah, I know they did, Wednesday evening there, when they were introducing some new books for the library of Christians in other countries needing to meet in secret and needing to, how their desire so strong to gather together to worship. They're willing to go at night, or they're willing to go many times even knowing they could face danger or hardship, but they go and they want to meet together. And you know, I guess sometimes I think, is my desire so strong to gather to worship that I would be willing to do that? But then the thought comes to my mind, well, that's really not what God's calling us to, because we don't face that. So then the thought comes to mind, is my desire to gather together to worship so strong that I will make sure that it happens? I will see, regardless of what it takes, that it happens. In other words, I'm trying to get us to think that God doesn't give us the strength to face somebody else's hardships, but he gives us the strength for what we need for today. What are you facing today that you need strength for? Are you willing to say, as Paul said here, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. This is again the Apostle Paul speaking here. Very familiar portion of scripture, and he says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." In other words, he's bringing out the thought that this is where he had that thorn in the flesh that he talks about. We never know what that was. I wish sometimes we knew what it was, but I guess it don't matter, because we all have some for thorn in the flesh we can apply to that. But Jesus is telling him, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So then the Apostle Paul said, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, or glory in the things that are a hardship to me in life, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. But in verse 10, he said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, many times we think about the Apostle Paul as being a very strong and devout and outspoken Christian. And I believe he was. But if you really stop and think about it, many times in life he was very destitute and very weak. And the strength that we see coming out from within him is the strength that he received from the Lord. So a couple things for each one of us to think about here this morning. Where are you at this morning? Are you content with life? You know, this whole contentment thing is, it saves a lot of problems if we're willing to be content with what God has for us. You know, are we content with our marriages? Are we content with our homes? Are we content with our families? Are we content with our jobs? Are we content with the things we have, where God has us in life? Are you always looking for something more? Do you wish you had a different life? And I make that statement to say, I remember one time, this was years ago, probably 18 years ago now, I had heard a lady that had been married close to 20 years ask the question, well, how do I know I'm married the right man? I was like, well, that's a little too late to ask that question. The question you need to be asking now is, how can I make this marriage work? Or asking God for the strength to make it work. But yeah, you know, that whole thought of just being not fully contented with your lot in life or where you're at in life. There's many more things we could think about. But in closing, just want to read this verse in 1 Timothy 6:6 again. But godliness with contentment bringeth great gain. If our utmost desire is to serve the Lord, and we do it with contentment, you know, I don't know if I should say this or not, but I guess I will. Just last evening, Lois and I were talking about some things, and you know, sometimes we were just away there 2 weeks ago, and you know, when you go away on a trip, you kind of leave your troubles and worries and cares behind, and I made the statement, and I want to be careful how I say this, but I said, being in the ministry is probably what brings the most stress in my life. But then I also made the statement, but being in the center of God's will is the only place that I would want to be. And I'm going to leave that as a challenge to each one of you, or each one of us here this morning. You know, God has different responsibilities, different gifts, but are you willing to be in the center of God's will, and are you willing to be content with where God has you? The Apostle Paul's words here again in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.